Debbie Smith. She's the chairman of our Celebration of the Life Committee. And so she says, "Hi, ladies. Thank you all for helping us today with Linda's Celebration of Life meal. I always say I feel like I've been blessed to have the opportunity to serve the family. They are always so appreciative. A favorite scripture of mine, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Oasis Sunday School is a blessing to our church. Teresa, would you share this note with your ladies in your class who brought the food? It was delicious. Love you all and love our church." And that was from Debbie Smith. So thanks to everybody who brought food for the celebration of life for Linda. Her service was just so precious yesterday. And so I'm so thankful that we were able to do that. And they had gobs of food, lots of food. So we believe in going overboard, right? That's why we're so fluffy. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, we gather in this room. And there seated at your right hand is Jesus. Jesus, you are so sweet. How we love you this morning. And you say in your word, if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And so as we begin our lesson this morning, we're doing that. We're drawing very near to you, to your word, which is living. I pray this morning that it would just explode upon our lives and have a powerful effect. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have heard of the man named Martin Luther? Yes. I think everybody has. He was a Catholic monk. He had a very powerful personality. He was very smart, a very capable teacher, a very powerful figure in his day. And it was Martin Luther who posted 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. They were 95 issues that he felt needed to be addressed and corrected in Roman Catholicism. He did this on October 31st, 1517. Now, he actually had not become a Christian yet, but the Lord was showing him the errors of the Roman Catholic system and was drawing him to the true gospel. And because he had posted these 95 issues that he had, he was in very hot water. He was summoned to come to the church to meet before a council to answer for his actions. He was forced to sit before this tribunal to answer for what they saw as very serious accusations to the Catholic system. Here are some of the things that he called out, some of the 95 issues that he called out. First, he denied the validity of what is called penance. And that is an action of self-punishment done to pay for your sin. Something you do. You fast, or you get to the poor, or you have an act of mercy, or you patiently accept hardships. That's called penance in Roman Catholicism. And it's a way you pay for your sin. He also denied a place called purgatory. Purgatory, according to Roman Catholicism, is a place where people go after death. It's kind of like a holding place, they believe. And Catholics believe that people who are living can say prayers and they can do good works and they can do masses offered on earth that can help move these souls in purgatory to heaven. But look on your handout at Hebrews 9:27. Look at this verse. It is appointed to men once to die, and after this comes judgment. Where's purgatory in that verse? Here's another thing he denied. He denied indulgences. And that is where you pay and you buy your way into heaven by giving sums of money. He denied salvation by works altogether. He also denied papal authority, that the supreme power and spiritual leadership of the Pope over the Roman Catholic Church. But his worst crime, here it comes, that's just a sampling of some of the 95, but the worst crime that he brought out was that he said that he believed that the only authority was the Bible. Now, in this meeting at that church, Martin Luther faced a man named Johann Eck. He was the master debater for the Roman Catholic Church, and his job was to expose and denounce everything that Luther had said, especially the claim that the Bible held absolute authority. After all was said and done, Martin Luther was banned from the Roman Catholic Church, and he was called a heretic. That amazing discussion that he and Eck had that day was overheard by a young man. That young man's name was Johann Grauman. He was listening to this debate, and after it was all over, as he was walking away, he realized that Luther was absolutely right, and that Johann Eck was wrong. He was convinced of the true faith. He eventually left the Catholic Church and joined in with Luther and became a gospel preacher. He was also a hymn writer. And in 1525, he wrote a hymn, and I put it on your handout. It's called, "My Soul Now Praise Your Maker." Let's read the words. "My soul now praise your maker. Let all within me bless his name, who makes you full partaker of mercies more than you dare to ever claim. As high as heavens above us, as dawn from close of day, so far since he has loved us, he puts our sins away. Praise him forever reigning, all you who hear his word, our soul and all sustaining, my soul, oh praise the Lord." Now, why am I telling you this story this morning? Well, it's because this hymn was based on the psalm that you and I are going to study this morning. In fact, Psalm 103 has more hymns written from this psalm than any other psalm, except for one. Does anybody know which one would hold the most? Anybody have an idea?
100?
Not 100. It's Psalm 23. And this psalm is just pure praise from start to finish. Now let me tell you something about this book of Psalms that we have in the middle of our Bible. It's actually a book of five books. There are actually five books in the book of Psalms. It's a collection of books. And so Psalm 103 is a psalm that comes out of book four, at the very end of book four. And so our psalm begins this morning. Look at it on your handout that I gave you of Psalm 103. It starts out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Well, that's 103. If you go to 104, listen to how it begins. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, my Lord, my God, you are very great." Look at Psalm 105. This is how it begins. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders." And then Psalm 106 begins this way. "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting." And then as you open book five, the first line is, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting." You see, book five is just echoing the praise of book four. Now, David is the author of this psalm. And some people say David wrote this in his old age. Did you know old age is the best time to praise the Lord? I can tell you this from personal experience. What do you mean, Teresa? Well, when you're old, you have a better perspective. You look back in your life and you see clearly God's power and blessing and providence and favor. And the older you grow, the more reasons you have to praise and worship God. Is that not true, older women in this class? Amen? Especially if you've walked with the Lord for decades and decades and decades, and you've walked right into old age. You have this long, intimate, personal, very real life experience with the power and the blessing and the providence of God. Let's just read the psalm together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. And when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to keep to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, the word Lord in this psalm, only one name for God is used all throughout the psalm. It's God's name, Yahweh. So I want you to write that down. Y-A-H-W-E-H. Now, this is not a descriptive name. He has descriptive names. For example, Jireh, I'm your provider. Shalom, I'm your peace. Rapha, I'm your shepherd. He has descriptive names, but this is kind of like his very own name, his personal name. You see, there Moses was in the wilderness, and suddenly there was a burning bush. God spoke to him out of the bush, told him what to do, and he said to that bush, "Who will I tell has sent me?" Do you remember what he said? "You tell them I am has sent you." That is the name Yahweh. Write this down. It's God's covenant name. We are to worship the I Am, the one true and living God who eternally exists, never had a beginning, never has an ending. He alone is absolute reality. He's constant, independent, sovereign, truth, light, life, beauty, perfection, holiness, joy. He's everything. So let's begin this morning by highlighting a fact. I put it on your handout. And here is what I want you to see. He alone is worthy to be worshipped. Get that in your heart this morning. His name is Yahweh. He's also known as the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a psalm that's calling us this morning. babies, to be true worshipers. We're going to break down this song real quickly in three parts. Are you ready to jump in? The first part, we're going to give this title. It's an internal call. An internal call. Now notice back in verse 1. This is so cool. Because this song begins with the command to our own soul, and we are to speak to God in our own soul in ways that give Him glory and honor. Look at it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. My soul is to do some talking. So write this down. We are to talk to ourselves in our souls about God. Blessing Him, praising Him, worshiping Him. This is where worship starts, deep within our own souls. Now, the depth to which I can worship God in my soul will be according to what my soul knows about God. So we'll write it this way. If I have little knowledge of God, it's going to equal a small voice. Teresa, I just don't have much to say. I mean, I think about God, and He's really huge, but I need some embellishment. Well, you're going to have to learn about your God. And as you learn about God, write it this way. Great knowledge of God gives us loud voices. Dominating voices. Loud. Loud. We don't have small voices. We'll have much to consider when it comes to praising God. You see, as I learn about Him, why, it just creates in me this ability to praise and worship Him internally. And you see, that's just like springs of living water. They're just bubbling up. They're coming out. I'm just magnifying Him for who He is. Now, this seemed to me to be a good time to give you a commercial. Good news. I told you all about this study last week. Behold your God. Rethinking God biblically. Teresa, help me to know God better. I'm going to. But you're going to have a part in it. I'm telling you, this is just probably one of my favorite Bible studies, if not the most. I tend to like what I'm doing at the time the best. And so right now, I really like this the best. And I like it so much, I want to share it with Oasis. And it's going to have about 20 minutes of homework, 5 days a week. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Look at me. If you want to be a woman who can make much of God in her soul. Do you want to be able to praise and worship Him better? Do you? If you do, this will help you. Because you know what it'll do? It'll take you to the Word of God. And it's kind of like a teaching Bible study. You see how much I like it. I underline everything He says. And He's going to teach you, and then you're going to guide you into Scripture. And I told you last week they were back ordered. Well, they're on the way, and as soon as they get here, we're going to start. Now, it's just your heart talking to itself, thinking about your God, thinking about who He is, His marvelous character, all about the rich salvation that He's offered you in Christ. And it just bubbles up in your heart. It has nothing to do with being in a sanctuary. It has nothing to do with any kind of external aid, like a praise band or musical instruments. I'm talking about something that's internal this morning. It's you talking to yourself about how wonderful Yahweh. So let's write this down. It's going to involve some things. It's going to involve gratitude and adoration. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's just a general command. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Circle that word all. all that is within me. You see, I'm not talking to you this morning about make a little slot somewhere in your life in the middle of everything else that's there. No, no, no. I want you to learn to bless the Lord with all your faculties. Sisters, this is how we're to live our lives. And then he gets very specific in verse 2. He says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and write this down, forget none of his benefits." Why, my goodness, their benefits. And this is just telling you, Teresa, sit down, make a list of all the benefits. This will help you speak to yourself in your heart about how wonderful Yahweh is. And you'll worship him. And you'll praise him. Because the truth is, every benefit in your life, every grace, every provision that's ever been made for you, every protection that has been yours, every kindness, every expression of love, every providence has come from Yahweh. It's like that hymn we used to sing, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." Do you remember that song? If you're old, you remember that song. And then it says, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. He's done a lot in our lives. And this is what this is saying. Don't forget your benefits. This is how we live our lives. Let's list the benefits. But before we do that, there are two commands here. Forget not your benefits. I just want to point out the other command that comes in this psalm, and it's in verse 18, and it says this. Remember his precepts to do them. Remember his precepts to do them. So add that to your list. Let's make a list of the benefits. Here's the first one. Forgiveness of sins. That's huge. That's huge. Why can't you go to heaven? Because you're dirty. You're sinful. You're fallen. One sin, you lose it. You can't go. And so what does God do? He forgives your sin. Look at verse 3. He pardons all your iniquities. This is your first gift. This is the gift to the person who comes to God in repentance and who receives his gift of righteousness that's been provided through the death and the burial and the resurrection of his Son. Speaking of salvation here, you see, salvation just opens the treasure house of God's divine grace and mercy, and it is so rich. And this is the very beginning of the benefits. Did you know the good news? It's not about you just having a little happy life. It's not at all. It's not about you getting all the things you want, all the goodies in life. No, the good news is your sins are forgiven. And because of what Christ has done, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have escaped judgment and hell, and you will enter in into the kingdom of heaven. Are you thankful this morning? You are forgiven in Christ. You've been given a gift of righteousness. When God looks at you, he sees purity because you're hidden in the perfect one, Jesus Christ. And you're his. You're born again. Here's the next one. Write it down. I want to stay on the first one for a long time. But the second one heals all your diseases. Well, Teresa, is this telling me that I never am going to be sick? I mean, is this speaking about just comprehensive healing in my body? No, no, no. All my sins are forgiven. So does that mean all my sickness is healed? Well, I know every one of my sins is forgiven. Is this saying every one of my sicknesses will also be healed? Well, that's it. Not exactly what it's speaking of here. Because on this side of heaven, you and I are living in the process of dying. Can I tell you, every one of us will die. Every one of us. But here's what the Lord does. He heals all the diseases of our soul. I'm speaking of my issues. I have pride. There's lust of the flesh and the eyes. And there's hatred. And there's problems with my thinking, and there's all kinds of things that are in my flesh, and those are the things that God comes and heals. And yes, too, one day my body will be glorified. Now, I'm not saying Jesus cannot heal a disease. Well, we all know that's not true. We all know probably many people who have miraculously been healed. Amen? And we praise God for that. But what I'm saying this morning is God doesn't always heal every person of every disease, does he? Because you and I are living on this side of heaven. But we know that a new glorified body that will never be sick is ours. So what are the benefits? Forgiveness and spiritual healing. Made new. And then look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit. Here's another benefit. Can I just tell you what? You will never experience, feel the torment of the pit of death. You will never experience that. Can I have a hallelujah? You'll never die. Did you know Christians don't die? You know what the Bible says happens to Christians? They go to sleep. And that's what a cemetery is. That word means sleeping place. We're just going to be laid in the grave and we will sleep. And our bodies will be resurrected. Your grandmother's just sleeping. That's a good way to think about it. You know what I said? When I die, just put me in my jammies and my favorite robe. Please don't put a bra on. They're selling them. You see, you and I belong to a God who's going to lift us out of the grave. These are amazing benefits, ladies. Amazing. And then look at number 4. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Wow, this sounds like a coronation of a queen. You're being crowned. And that word loving kindness is one of my very favorite biblical words in the Bible. Here's what it means. It means a committed love, a covenant love. And it's a kind of love that can never be broken. And it speaks of God as being a promise keeper. One who pardons, one who forgives, one who makes his covenant with those who put their trust in him. He will never break his covenant. Oh, sisters, can you in your souls this morning, as I'm teaching this lesson, can you just bless the Lord for his committed love, for his unbroken covenant love, and for his compassion? Let's look at that word. That means he loves us emotionally. He has compassion on us. He crowns us like royal daughters with all these heavenly benefits. And then add this. This blessed life is a satisfied life. Satisfied. You see, if you're willing to walk with the Lord and you're truly saved, God's going to literally cover you with good things. Here's the result. So that your youth will be renewed like the eagle. Doesn't your soul just want to thank him this morning for that love that pours out every good thing, that causes you to have strength in your spiritual life? Oh, we're so blessed by God. So the first call is an internal call. And then the next call to worship is an external call. So put that down. Number 2, we see this in verse 6, and we got to hurry. Let me see what time I've got. Oh, I really got to hurry. Verse 6 says, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. God has revealed himself in this world. So write it this way. He started with Moses. What did Moses do? Well, he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. That was the beginning of Scripture. What a gift. And then there were the sons of Israel. And we look at those sons of Israel and we watch God revealing himself in history. Yahweh is always working. Now there's a riddle here. He provides righteousness for those who are captives to sin, and yet his judgments are righteous. How can God provide compassion and righteousness to sinners and still be just? And that's actually the riddle of the Old Testament. And Isaiah 53 answers that question. And it comes this way. He can do that because he's gracious and he's merciful. And because he punished Christ in our place. That's his plan. Then starting in verse 8, he gives all of us reason to bless the Lord. Let's write down some beautiful things to bless the Lord for. First of all, there's his compassion and grace. And then his long-suffering and his loving kindness. Now that verse 9 is kind of a queer verse. Let's look at it. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Let me tell you what that means. It means he's not always going to find fault with us. Isn't that good news? And he's not going to keep on bearing a grudge forever. Though he is perfectly righteous, all his judgments are correct, he determines not to be our enemies forever. And he provides a way for us to come to him. And then verse 10 is one of the most precious verses in all of the Bible. Look at it with me. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Now that ought to just make you happy this morning. Because you know what I deserve? I deserve to be dealt with in a bad way. And then notice what it says. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because if he did, guess what? We would all be in hell. Can you just praise him with me this morning that he has not dealt with us according to our sins? And even though we're Christians, we still sin, don't we? But he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. It's just staggering to think about. He's going to give two illustrations of infinity. Look at verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Teresa, how much does God love me? Well, look at me. As far as the heavens are above the earth. That's infinity. That's how much he loves us. And then another illustration. Well, that's his love. What about our sin? What does he do with our sin? Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. Now, can you just tell me this morning, how far is the east from the west? It's infinite. See, I got an arrow going that way. I got an arrow going that way. And guess what? They go on for infinity. That is how far he's removed our transgressions from us. Well, in Micah 7, the prophet was thinking about this, and it just caused him to blurt out, "Oh, who is a pardoning God like you? You remove our sin that far. Why such love? Why such infinite forgiveness?" Well, look at verse 13. It's because he's just like a father who has compassion on his children. He knows we're just dust. And so write it down. It's because he's our father. And fathers are known for loving and having compassion on their children. He gets us. He understands we are just a pile of dust that can be blown away. And yet verse 17 says, he extends his loving kindness to us. That is from everlasting to everlasting. And there is another statement of infinity. How can you go from everlasting to everlasting? Why? That just makes my mind spin. And then it says, and I love this, and his righteousness to children's children from generation to generation. Oh, that encourages me. I'm so praying for my children and my grandchildren, aren't you? I want his righteousness to go on to the next generation of my family and the next generation and the next generation. You're loved by God. You're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. He loved you in Christ before time began. He will love you when time is over. Stop. Does this make you want to praise and worship God? Does it just well up in your heart how wonderful He is? He has this committed love to His people. And then, number three, a universal call. And I'm going to have to stop here because there's something I want to play as we close. But we see here a mention of angels, and I'm going to let you fill your blank in. We see five things about angels right fast. They are His. They are strong. They are obedient. They serve Him. They are forever worshiping Him. And then he mentions one other group, the host of heaven. And here he's talking about just all of creation. In 1974, was anybody alive besides me in 1974? At a few. There was a little boy who was born in England. He was born into a dysfunctional family. His father committed suicide when he was 7. He didn't know that until he turned 10. He had a lot of emotional scars. And then, on top of that, his mother remarried a very abusive man who eventually ended up in prison for abusing the whole family. Sometime later in his youth, he went to a mission meeting in England where he heard the gospel, and he was saved. He was a very good musician, and in wanting to celebrate what Jesus had done in his life, he started writing songs. And when he came to Psalm 103, it's our song for today, he wrote a song based on this song. This song won 2 Grammy Awards. One was the number one on the Billboard's Christian Song chart, and one for Best Contemporary Music Song and Best Gospel Contemporary Song. He also received a Dove Award for this song. He's also written 3 different books about worship. And the name of that boy was Matt Redman. Have you heard of him? And here's the name of the song that he wrote based on Psalm 103. And it's the song 10,000 Reasons. And I think it's a song you know. And I want to close with us playing that song. As soon as it's over, you're dismissed. So, roll it.
We hope this works.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. What?